Today is the 26th Sunday after Pentecost, and the Mass formulary readings are taken from the 6th Sunday after Epiphany. Now, last night, around 11 o'clock, we expected absolutely zero people coming today because of the ice storm we got. So I'm very surprised that this many people, Father Ward, decided to cancel or postpone the spiritual conference on the rosary because he wanted everyone to hear it, and we were getting calls from some of you asking, considering the weather, if Father was going to do the conference. So because of that, we decided to postpone it to next week. So after the Mass, Father will have that conference in the hall. I was looking at the forecast and I said, Father, I think next weekend is supposed to snow. And he said, well, we'll just keep postponing. We'll do it in Advent if we have to, but we will do it. So it's scheduled for next Sunday after the 9 o'clock Mass. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. However, we will not have benediction this evening. Now, this Thursday is Thanksgiving Day, and as is our custom, we will have the Mass, low Mass, at 8:30 this Thursday on Thanksgiving. And the sisters are continuing to have their Advent and Christmas sale in the hall after Mass, so you can go there to see the items that they're selling. Today is the feast of the dedication of the basilicas of the holy apostles Peter and Paul. Now, that is not celebrated today in favor of the Sunday, but just briefly about that, the Mass for a dedication of a church is a huge ceremony. I have not seen it. Very few people have because it is rarely done, especially the way it was traditionally done. But these two basilicas are honored on this day because of their importance in the church for centuries, because they are dedicated to these two great apostles. The first pope, St. Peter, the head of the apostles, as you know, and then St. Paul, called the greatest of all apostles because of his works and his travels and his conversions. Maybe some of you have had the privilege of visiting these churches, these magnificent structures. They were built several times over. These churches have been built, because sometimes in what happened in the early church, when there was the persecutions were over, a great hall or palace of the emperor or another important person was converted to a church, and that's exactly what happened with many churches. And over the centuries, these two basilicas have been built, destroyed, burnt, and then in the last several centuries, they were built as they are today. So St. Paul Outside the Walls is the burial place for the remains of St. Paul the Apostle. It is important because he is our apostle. We receive the faith from all the apostles, but he's the apostle to the Gentiles. And this basilica is outside the walls of Rome, so it's not in the central part of the city. If you know your ancient history, in all the major cities, they would have walls surrounding them to protect them from enemies. But over the course of centuries, the cities would grow, and then they would just leave the walls and just build outside of them. Well, this, when you walk into this structure, it is just with the pillars on the sides and just a serene majesty. I can just say that when I saw that. And you want to pray there as long as possible. St. Peter's Basilica, I had seen pictures of it, and it's, you know, countless tourists visit it, but when you walk in, it just takes your breath away, how gigantic it is, and the unbelievable quality of the architecture and the decoration. Now, why do I say that? It's because these structures are representing the faith of countless souls. It's to give honor to God. That's what why they're built. To have the most perfect fitting place for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. That's why they are built to such a great degree. Now, most people go to see the architecture and they don't appreciate the faith. In fact, they don't even know that under all the side altars there are the incorrupt remains of many saints, such as St. Joseph, at whose feast was just this last week. They think that they are wax dummies or something, and that's not true. But it is a testimony to their faith and to the faith of Catholics all over the world who build beautiful churches, and comes down to this chapel when we built it 35 years ago. We did the best we could with the funds we had because we were very poor at the time. And for us, it was, considering where we had been offering the Mass, it was a huge step forward because of persecution, because of hatred for the Latin traditional Mass. But all of us should be grateful that we have a place to every day, every Sunday, offer and assist at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Tomorrow, November 19th, St. Elizabeth of Hungary. Tuesday, the 20th, November 20th, Feast of St. Felix of Valois. Wednesday, the Feast of the Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, in imitation of our Lord, she has, as he does, a feast honoring her birthday, her name, and also her presentation in the temple. So if you're able to assist at Mass on that day, that would be a good thing. Thursday, Feast of St. Cecilia, the Virgin Martyr of the early church. Another case of a young woman standing up for her faith in the face of harassment, torture, and death, and would not give in. And she was an inspiration for conversions back then, even as she is today. And she's the patroness of organists and musicians. Friday, November 23rd, St. Clement the First. He was the third pope. And then finally on Saturday, the Feast of St. John of the Cross, the great reformer, along with St. Teresa of Avila of the Carmelite Order, when about 500 years ago, they were becoming corrupt and lax, and so it took these two saints to reform it and clean house. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Brethren, we give thanks to God always for you all, continually making a remembrance of you in our prayers, being mindful before God our Father of your work of faith and labor and charity, and your enduring hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, brethren, beloved of God, how you were chosen. For our gospel was not delivered to you in word only, but in power also, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much fullness, as indeed you know what manner of men we have been among you for your sakes. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, receiving the word in great tribulation with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became a pattern to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you the word of the Lord has been spread abroad, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has gone forth, so that we need say nothing further. For they themselves report concerning us how we entered among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to await from heaven Jesus, his Son, whom he raised from the dead, who has delivered us from the wrath to come. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. This indeed is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it grows up, it is larger than any herb and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and dwell in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and buried in 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and without parables he did not speak to them, that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The collect of this Mass, which I often like to read at the beginning, goes like this. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that ever fixing our thoughts on such things that are reasonable, we may both in word and work do that which is pleasing to you. Now this is Holy Mother the Church, who continues the work of Christ through her church on earth. And we hear these words, and we must take them to heart, because it says, in word and work. That means by what we say, and what we do is how we are saved. Faith alone is not enough to get us to heaven. Because there have been many, and even as St. Paul says, and he was afraid himself, who have believed, and they even hope and trust in God, but their love is lacking, because they may say they may love God, but what do they do to show they love God? So faith without works is dead. It leads to destruction. And what's important, as we know, is to perform these good works while we're in the state of grace, because we do not get merit for our works if we are in the state of sin. When St. Paul was speaking to the Thessalonians, he was reassuring them and reminding them of what he has done and what they are continued to do, what they're supposed to do, because they, through his preaching and setting up the churches there, which of Thessalonica is the area of the former Yugoslavia, of that area in Eastern Europe. But they turned away from idols. They used to worship idols. And he said, you've turned to serve the living God. Now, as Catholics, as Christians, true Christians, we have for a symbol the crucifix showing our Lord dead on the cross. That is there above the altar in our homes on the end of our rosaries to remind us of what our Lord did, the greatest act in history, the greatest work, the death of God. To make up for our sins out of a love for each of us. And it is reenacted on the altar at every Mass. But our Lord is alive. Remember, his soul continued to live in limbo while his dead body was in the tomb. But it was the act of dying that made up for our sins. So these early Christians turned away from idols. But why does Holy Mother the Church remind us through this Mass today to do the same thing? Because everybody who's ever lived is struggling to turn away from idols, material things, worshiping things that take us away from worshiping God. It diverts us. It's like we're going on a detour to destruction. And those evil paths are very clever in terms of their design. You know why? Because Satan is behind them. And the other evil spirits and evil men and women on this earth. Carefully plan to lead souls away from God, to make them doubt or question or have indifference to God. Those are the idols of today. So if there are things in our lives that are interfering with our prayers, with our spiritual reading, with assistance at Mass, those are things that are to be turned away from. Those are idols in our lives. Every person has some particular thing that may lead them away from God. For some people, it's themselves, their body, their pleasures, or it could be money, possessions, friends, so-called friends, the sin of human respect, worrying about and being more concerned about what your neighbor thinks than what God thinks. So pleasing the people around you more than you should please God. And it leads slowly to indifference, takes us away from God. I don't think we realize the battle that we are in. As priests here in this community and as traditional priests who have the faith, it is a daily battle waged one-on-one between Satan and our souls. I believe that the things that interfere with the worship of God here, the preaching, the good works, are the devil from the devil. You know that the evil spirits have been given some ability to afflict us. Sufferings, crosses, even the weather, things can happen. In extreme cases, people are possessed of the devil. God permits that. Because even last night I was thinking, here's the devil interfering with a good work of a conference on the Holy Rosary. And to explain to the people how the Blessed Mother has been directed by God to give us this devotion, to assist us to heaven. Yet, you all made it here. You're not going to be deterred by the likes of a puny little angel like Satan, because he is a speck compared to God and the power of God. God could snuff his existence out at will if he wanted to. But he permits him and other evil entities in our lives to test us to see if we're going to be faithful. Now these Sundays, these last few Sundays before Pentecost, have a theme which is brought to the fore in great detail next week at the last Sunday of Pentecost, and that is about the end of time. Because St. Paul says in this epistle, as I read it a moment ago, to await from heaven Jesus, his Son, whom he raised from the dead, who has delivered us from the wrath to come. Because it will be wrath. It will be terrible. And there will be events before the end of time that will foreshadow that, such as has been revealed, private revelation to saints and holy people about the 3 days of darkness. And some of you, I'm sure, have heard about that. It's not something, oh, some legend, and oh, ignore that. That's just to make us, frighten us. No, we should be afraid of the wrath of God. We have to answer to God for what we've done. And it is said in those 3 days of darkness, which will be a foreshadowing of the end of time, that the whole earth will be covered by darkness. And it will be clearly something from God as a punishment. It will not be some natural event explained away by ignorant and atheistic scientists who have a lot on their heads for the way they treat God and the people who believe in God. And it is said on those days of darkness, the only ones who will survive will be those who stay at home and pray and not to go outside, because there will be a chastisement that the evil spirits will be released and poisonous things will be in the air that will kill people as a punishment. And only those who pray and fast during these 3 days will survive. And not to, once it begins, not to open the door to those who are trying to get in, because it is too late. The door is shut, as it says in the parable of our Lord about the virgins, the foolish virgins who are not prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. And so they're locked out. And our Lord says to them, I do not know you. It is said it will happen on the same days as the sacred Triduum, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of a particular week. And then on Sunday, there'll be a new beginning for a while for the church, and the church will be in huge and great glory for a certain amount of time. Now, is that something that we may see in our days? Who knows? It would be better if we were prepared ahead of time, because we all have to face God at the moment we die, whatever the circumstances. So that is and should be our number one priority. I think about it every day. Is this my last day on this earth? What am I doing to prepare to meet God? A Catholic has to do that. A priest has to do that. In today's gospel, our Lord uses the image of some unusual items as a symbol for the kingdom of heaven, which has unbelievable beauty and majesty and is huge. And he uses a tiny mustard seed. I don't know how tiny you know that is. It's extremely small. And how when that seed is planted and grows, it grows into a tree. And it's not just a bush, even though it is, it can be up to 12 feet tall. But he's using that as an image for these people of that time, of his time, to show from a small seed, great things can come. An image of the church, of each individual soul who has the seed of faith in his soul and is not going to waste it. Then he uses also the kingdom of heaven as like leaven, which a woman put in 3 measures of flour. And as you know, leaven has that unusual property of making the bread rise, to show that something that you really can't see, that looks almost too small to see, produces these beautiful results. So in this, again, another image of ordinary life, how putting this substance in the bread makes it rise and edible for food for the people. And so it is with the faith. You can't see it because it's something we believe, but you see the effects of it in our lives. As we said, the churches and the people. And the thing is, you can't lose it unless you choose to. No one can steal your faith from you. Now, some have tried to take it from others. But if they've been faithful, like the martyrs, like St. Cecilia and St. Clement, and these beautiful examples of our faith, they stand up to these people. They're not going to cave in. They're not going to compromise. And we see slowly but surely how the society, we'll just put it like that, is trying to snuff people like us who have the true faith, snuff us out. By first making it more difficult to practice our faith. It's coming. It's here, but it's coming to us. In Canada, for example, a priest who preaches about the sins of immorality, especially unnatural vice of homosexuality, can be arrested because that's against the law. Did you know that? So it's coming to this country. So what are we going to do? Are we going to stop preaching the truth and condemning error? No. Not going to happen. The birds of the air that dwell in the tree, the mustard tree, are all the believers, and even all the powers of the world who are now pressed to believe in the Son of God. Because in the last days and at the last judgment, which Father will speak about more next Sunday, and even those that theme goes into Advent, about the end of the world. It is a time to be afraid of. But Catholics, true believers, will be given a grace to have confidence when those days come. Yes, we are all afraid of the judgment of God, but we will have confidence and trust because we are friends of God. And our Lord will extend his hand on the right side and invite us to heaven. And on the left, he will place all his enemies to be cast into hell. It's a frightening scene, but it is something that is coming. The post-communion of these, if you've noticed it, of these extra Sundays after Pentecost, before the last Sunday after Pentecost. So these filler Sundays, we can call them, they are Sundays that would be used at the season of Epiphany if Easter was later in the year. So you have about 4 or 5 Sundays that are either right after the Feast of Epiphany, January 6th, if Easter is late, or if Easter's early, all these Sundays are moved after Pentecost. They all have the same theme of preparing for the judgment of God, but also, and I found this so consoling, and I remember reading this in some very difficult days just before I entered the seminary. Some days of persecution, and these are from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 11, verse 24. This one verse goes like this. Amen, I say to you, all things whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you shall receive, and it shall be done to you. We're all familiar with that. But when I heard those words over 40 years ago, at certain times, it consoled me. Gave me the ability to press on in difficult situations. Because it says, all things, not just some things, anything that you ask in prayer will be given to you. But you have to believe. You have to believe that God will give it to you according to His will. So it's a very simple prayer, but a very sublime prayer. It's the Word of God. And it helps us to persevere in our spiritual life, in our priestly lives here, in our day-to-day duties, to keep things going, so to speak. I've said this once before, and this will be the last thing, is I wish you had, and you never will, I wish you would know the details of what it takes to even prepare everything for a Sunday Mass like this, let alone when we have a high Mass. The works of this community just to make this happen. And all of us, don't look at it as a duty, but as a privilege that we are able to serve God in this beautiful way and to be in this beautiful home dedicated to God and to the Holy Family. May God bless you.